Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
I'm at a crossroads right now with this group. I am.
Like Bones Thugs and Harmony like style?
What you know about Bones Thugs and Harmony?
I think I said Thugs.
That's what it's called. Bones Thugs and Harmony. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Wake up is first of the month.
That's right. Bones Thugs and Harmony. Yeah, right. Okay.
For sure.
Yeah. I'm at a crossroads. I'm at a perennial crossroads. Every day is a crossroads for me. But go ahead. You're at a crossroads.
I'm at a crossroads with this group because what we can ignore, despite all of the glaring holes that there are, and I don't think there's a ton, but when you get down to the postseason and you're in that second season and it's only 14 teams left playing right now, you have to put under the microscope, in my opinion, the deficiencies, and you got to talk about what you think will get them to advance. And I think where I'm at right now in terms of their deficiencies, as I told you in the pre-show, I think if the quarterback plays like Superman, if the quarterback is the best player on the field Sunday, which you and I both know he's got a very good shot of being, I think the deficiencies don't matter. And at the end of the day, he will be able to do enough to score more points than the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yeah, I mean,
that's where it all lies.
To me, that's wishful or hopeful thinking, because if you think you're going to win this game based on one person, that's probably the wrong approach. Now, could it happen? Sure. Could he go out and put his cape on? Absolutely. Run for 100 yards, throw for 300.
I think it's the most likely way that they win, because if all of you are trying to think about all the run games got to get going, when are we going to get the traditional run game going? Newsflash. There's been one game since that second Giants game where they've run the football worth a damn. And that was against the Tennessee Titans.
Surely you don't think that I think that
they're just not
pounding
all of a sudden
pounding the rock and doing what you haven't done for 5 weeks now is going to be the way they're all of a sudden going to wake up, show up, roll into Tampa, and stomp all over their asses, right?
Yeah,
I mean, I could hope for that. I could want that. Do I realistically believe that? No. Not a snowball's chance in hell.
I'm glad you do.
Tennessee, quite honestly. And I'm not falling for that. But I would say this, that if you expect it to be one versus essentially 53,
it's not what I'm saying.
I said essentially, where Jaden basically has to be Superman and win a game by himself. Look, he's got to be the best player on the offense, there is no doubt, and maybe the best player, period, on the field on both sides, meaning both sides of the ball for us,
for sure,
the Commanders, and maybe even both sides for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Washington Commanders. Yes, I would grant you that. But the way they win this game, if they could win, is you are going to have to find a way to slow down the Tampa Bay offensive machine.
And how can you possibly do
that's
that?
Not what you did in week one, and that's not what a lot of teams have done throughout the year. But some teams have, and there's one way to do it before you ask that question. There's just one way how you slow down this Tampa defense, and it's not
the Tampa offense, you mean?
Yes. I'm sorry, the Tampa offense. But, and it's not anything technical or all 22 or any bull crap like that, or I wouldn't call it bull crap,
Chris Russell. I just say it's just good football opinion.
Okay. You know what my answer is going to be? If they don't force turnovers in this game, they have no shot.
I don't want to say that. I don't want to say that that's the case. Now, a turnover obviously helps, but in order for this group to beat Tampa Bay, I continue to say, like I said at the start of the show, Jaden Daniels must be the best player on the field. If Washington's going to win their first playoff game since 2005, Jaden Daniels has to be the best player on the field, and they've got to play keep away, whether it's by hook or by crook. What they were able to do two Sundays ago on Sunday Night Football against Atlanta, possessing the football for 14 minutes and 50 seconds, that's the formula that is going to allow this team to win in the postseason. And you said Jaden Daniels has to be the best player on the field. As we get a couple of days away from this thing, you bet your ass he's probably the best player on the field. You got to think about the way this young man has finished the regular season. I know Sunday before he got pulled, it wasn't pretty. I'll be real with you. He took sacks. He should have thrown the ball away. It is what it is. But before that, the way he had played the two games prior, that's the Jaden Daniels I expect to see with all the marbles on the line. And I think if he's going to play that way, you have a shot because they're going to possess the football. They're going to score points, and they're going to be aggressive. I think that's your main way.
But you can score points, and you can score 28, 30, 33. You can do some of what, if not all of what, you've been doing and still lose a wild, wild west shootout with as good as that offense is and as spotty, let's just call it, as the Commanders' defense is. If you don't create takeaways to limit the damage, to stop the gushing, I find it almost impossible to think that this offense, Jaden Daniels, and this offense against Todd Bowles, and yes, a very banged up secondary, but a pretty alive front defensive line and a pretty good front seven, I find it hard to believe that Jaden is just going to waltz down in there and light it up and score 38, 40, 42 points, whatever it's going to take, if you don't limit the damage that Baker Mayfield, Mike Evans, and Bucky Irvin, and Jalen McMillan, and that offensive line are going to inflict, in all likelihood, against a Swiss cheese defense. A defense that, quite honestly, is hanging on by a thread. Somehow, some way, they almost made Trey Lance and the Cowboys look good the other day.
Yeah, I mean, they've struggled. I'll give you that. But here's, to me, what it also comes down to. They're at a spot right now where I think the defensive philosophy, as critical as I've been to the defense, I think this past weekend you saw their plan damn near executed to perfection. Now, giving up 6 yards a pop at times on first and second down isn't the plan. Giving up some of the explosives in the pass game isn't the plan. But what they really keyed in on and did well, and I think it's something that they're going to need to take with them throughout the postseason, is you can give up all the yards in between the 20s that you want. If you ultimately are forcing field goal attempts, I think they've got to be able to live with that because they understand how limited they are personnel-wise. They don't have the horses to go out and just stop teams.
I understand that.
So they've got to play this bend but don't break style.
That's a great point.
That
easier to do that against Trey Lance and no C.D. Lamb
100%
and the Cowboys than against Baker Mayfield, Mike Evans, and the Bucks.
Well, let's be real, and we're going to talk about Marshawn Lattimore here in a second.
Well, there's a reason why I keep mentioning Mike Evans.
Well, for sure. The one other thing that I want to say, too, that scares the hell out of me and why I'm confident in their ability this week. Maybe it's the fan in me coming out. I'm excited. It's playoffs and all that. I think they've got a puncher's chance. I think Jaden gives them a shot against anybody as we continue to find out.
Wait, you don't have your pitchfork this
week? I don't. My pitchfork was left.
Matty, did you see it in the shed this morning?
That's insane.
I mean, I would say I thought he left it in the Commanders' regular season. Oh. Now that the Commanders' regular season is dead,
you see what I'm saying?
He left it in the regular season and moving on to the post.
Look
at Matty Ice looking all slick and
trying to get the save for Linnell over here.
Well, look, that's why he's my dog. But in all reality, though, what worries me about this Commander's defense, and I know everyone, I've listened to Kevin Sheehan, I've listened to Hoffman, I've listened to Take Command podcast, I've listened to the Junks, I've listened to everybody. I haven't tuned in like this in a while. I'm dialed in right now. The one thing that everybody, I've listened to Chris Russell as well. I know you felt left out there, big brother. I got you. The one thing that I
was thinking there was another show that you didn't mention, but that's okay.
There was a couple shows that didn't mention, but it's all love all the way around. But the one thing that I don't know that I've heard anyone speak about here, and I know I've beat this into the ground over the past couple of weeks without you, by the way. When's the last time the Commanders have played a viable quarterback? The Commanders haven't played a decent quarterback since Thursday Night Football on the road against Philadelphia. And let me just be open, honest, and transparent about the defense. They're a group that I continue to think is playing better. Adding Marshawn Lattimore allows you to do some more things schematically. But the one thing that I would say is the last 3 weeks, you've beaten Kenny Pickett, and he couldn't beat you when you gave him throws to beat you. Michael Penix couldn't hit the throws you gave him to beat you. And then last week, I mean, good God. I mean, Trey Lance is probably The fact that he was a top five pick is organizational malpractice, and whoever made that decision in San Francisco should not be allowed to touch quarterbacks again. He stunk.
What if Adam Peters contributed to that decision?
Well, that's a swing and a miss, brother. But I don't think I just can't see that.
Okay.
But you hear what
but
I'm
either
saying?
Way, that he, was in charge of the college draft.
That is my big concern about the defense is Baker Mayfield's 45 touchdowns. Was it 4,200 yards?
Yeah.
I mean, he's having a whale of a year.
Right.
He's not going to miss the throws
which
that Trey Lance missed Sunday.
And I got to be honest with you, the notion that Jaden being Superman, A, is hard for me to fathom. B, winning a game essentially by himself and going to Tampa and say, hey, man, let's just hold them to field goals instead of touchdowns.
I mean, that's got
to
be
that,
the goal.
That formula is going
to
work.
But that
now,
has to be the plan.
It can be your goal. It can be your plan. It's a dumb plan.
It's your, it's your most executable plan.
Takeaways are the number one way you can not only slow them down, but you can mitigate damage. And you can help Jaden Daniels be Superman.
For sure.
And Jaden Daniels doesn't have to be Superman if he only needs 28 points.
Well, for sure.
But if he needs 40 points or 38 points,
Chris,
then that's a whole different ball of wax.
Well, let's just say this. How many points did they score on Sunday night against Atlanta? He was Superman then. Like, they've got a whole...
He was Superman at the end and on that drive in overtime.
Chris,
and in the second half, they ran the ball really well, and he was good.
He was
good to very good. In the first half, outside of that first drive, Jaden wasn't very good against Atlanta. I mean, that's two kind of bad first halves in a row, quite honestly, if we're being honest.
Philadelphia?
Philadelphia was a bad first two series, and then...
They scored
the short field touchdown off the Luvu touchdown, and then they had another couple of bad series, and then they scored the long Diami, Terry McLaurin. I don't think he was as bad in the first half against Philadelphia as he was against Atlanta and Dallas.
And I don't put all of the onus on him either for the way the offense did not perform in those first halves. I don't think it's all on Jaden.
Yeah, it's never all on Jaden.
But here's the thing. I'm not trying to be facetious when I say it. He's got all the pressure is on him. They're asking him to do a lot. There has been, anybody watching has to have seen this. There's a switch that is flipped with him where he's now saying, okay, well, when nothing's there, I'm going to have to go create. And I think he's done a good job protecting himself in those situations.
Was that switch taped shut on Sunday, do you think? In the first half even?
And I know you and Doc talked about this a little bit yesterday. You spoke on a Monday. The first half, to me, going back and watching it, it's him not getting the football out of his hands and taking what the defense was giving him.
I agree.
He's mastered in.
I agree.
And we can go back a couple of weeks ago. Cliff straight up called out, said, how does he get better down the stretch? Don't get bored with making the routine plays.
Thing. Yeah.
And I think you got to add context to this. And I've had some time to decompress off of it. I was ticked off that they came out as flat as they did in all three phases on Sunday in a game where all we heard all week long is how much they were going for it and how much they wanted the sixth seed. They did not come out that way.
Yeah.
Here's the thing that will be
different. Sure as hell didn't look like it.
Here's the thing that will be different this Sunday compared to this past Sunday. You can't fake urgency and desperation.
I agree.
You can't fake that.
I agree.
It wasn't organically there this past week, which is why I'm not giving them a pass. But I understand why it looked that way. Sunday, I expect this group legitimately with their backs against the wall in hostile territory, seeing an opponent for the second time, I expect the focus level from all three phases to be exponentially better. And I think that alone makes this game, it's going to be a slobber knocker, man. I think this probably is going to be the best game of the weekend.
All right, 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. So out of that opening soliloquy by both of us, would you say that Jaden Daniels has to be Superman in order for the Commanders to win this game? Meaning, does he largely have to say, hop on my back, boys, I'll take you to the promised land? Which for this team is just a playoff win. It's not the Super Bowl. Let's worry about the Super Bowl when there's a reason to worry about the Super Bowl. We're just trying to get a playoff win here on the road against a playoff rival. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are not a quote-unquote rival, but they sure as hell are a playoff rival. That's for damn sure. And then the other component is this. Dan Quinn spoke last hour, and the indication we have is Marshawn Lattimore is going to practice to some degree today, probably limited, although today is going to be more of a a light practice, jog through, what have you. Tomorrow's the more serious practice of the three. And it's expected that Marshawn Lattimore, who apparently has hit all the markers and all the this and all the that, and apparently is healthy and ready to practice, it's expected that he's going to play on Sunday. Again, something could happen between now and then. Something could go wrong. We hope it doesn't. It's expected that he's going to play. They won't say that, but that's what the expectation is. So the question becomes is, can they win? Like, when we ask, does Jaden have to be Superman? That's one question. The other question is, with the injury information that we've just received within the last half an hour, 45 minutes or so from Dan Quinn, and again, it looking more favorable for Marshawn Lattimore versus Mike Evans. Does Marshawn Lattimore, and I don't know what the right way to word this, do they have a chance to win this game if Marshawn Lattimore, A, doesn't play, or B, is completely ineffective, and whether that's rendered ineffective by an injury, re-aggravation, or whether it's because Mike Evans and the Buccaneers just pick him apart because he just hasn't played a lot of football in the second half of the year? I think we can go both areas, because you brought up Jaden Daniels needing to be Superman.
Yes.
I disagree with that, respectfully. Yeah. I'm not saying you're crazy or anything. Clearly, he needs to be Jaden Daniels, and then some. But I'm also fascinated by this Marshawn Lattimore situation, because I think they have a chance to win if Marshawn Lattimore plays.
For sure.
I will just say this. I don't think they have a great chance, if any chance, if Marshawn Lattimore doesn't play.
Yeah, I see why you would think that. I just have seen so much of this defense without Marshawn Lattimore.
How does it look?
I mean, how much better did it look with him?
Well, it looked better.
A little bit.
A little bit. Not enough.
It looked more of the same.
I think there was enough high points in the Philadelphia game to mitigate some of the bad points.
And here's the thing. I don't think Marshawn Lattimore is going to – I don't want to say he's not going to matter.
Save the rest of that.
Yeah.